Okay, I hate to break social hour, but we're a little past. And well, the problem is, if I go way over, y'all talk about it. So, oh my goodness, we got a compromise here. Now, let's see. My ripped up Bible here, but it's big enough for me to see, so I don't want to change it. Okay. Okay. Let's get started. Any prayer request? Okay, Jim's brother will go into surgery tomorrow morning. Be in prayer in regards to the operation, cancer removal operation. And so please be in prayer. Where is he? Springfield, Missouri. And so please be in prayer. Be in prayer about us finding a place. Be in prayer just in regard to the outreach and things, my studies. I'm just having a tremendous time in so many different studies right now. Yes?
How much did we spend on the place, Herman?
Well, what I'd like to do is not put us into debt. We're just, in my opinion, we'd have to have a congregational meeting. I think we're too small to put ourselves in debt. I don't think that would be right. Now, let's say just the greatest deal of a lifetime came along, then we might consider a debt. But it would have to be that, I think. How do y'all feel? I just don't think we want to go into debt. Now, therefore, to answer your question, that doesn't leave us very much, but, you know, $150,000 to $200,000. And what we're dealing with. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer into some really good stuff and seeing what's going on in the Bible, that God could open our eyes to show us what is happening, what is occurring here in the ark and the flood. But remember, we are dealing with the placement of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. They're out of order. And that's what we want to look at. And what we're seeing is that there is a definite design that God is doing. And it flows all through the Bible so that you can see it, what's happening. In fact, what I'm going to hopefully, if I've done my job, I'm going to be asking you, what is it that we want to see with the out of order of those names? So we'll get to that as we develop it. But right now we're having a lot of fun in dealing with the flood, with the ark, and with the sending of the raven, sending out of the dove three times, what's going on here. So let's begin in a word of prayer that God can open our eyes to the things that we are seeing here in the text. Let's pray. There is so much in this book. But if we will let your Spirit open our eyes, they all fit into a very beautiful book, into a very beautiful pattern of what you're doing in history and in our lives and before the angels, both fallen and elect. Thank you, Father, for showing us here that the angels are a vital part of our own lives. Not in the sense that modern man likes to think of angels coming down and taking care of us, but far more involved in this spiritual warfare, far more involved in what happens in our lives than just the function of a guardian angel. I pray, Father, you'll give me the words of wisdom and truth and simplicity. Let your Spirit open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, to get up to where we are, we have an ark at play here. We have Noah, a raven, and a dove. Now, just so we see where we are, the ark is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of heaven. Noah is a picture of God the Father. And the raven, the first unclean animal, the first animal to be sent out of the dove, out of the ark, was a raven. And the raven is representative of Satan, the great adversary. It's very interesting in the study of Job. It just starts off in the first chapter, something going on between God and Satan. Oh, people, if I can just get you to visualize your life as in a far greater dimension than the things that we get so stressed out about, so upset about here on earth, in the material world, the sins of other people, how wonderful people look, how I compare myself. We just get so caught up in such an elementary level that we lose what's happening in this grand scale of all history in the glory of God and in our own lives. Then we come to the sending out of the dove by Noah, God the Father, and the dove is a representative of Jesus Christ. Okay. Noah sends the raven out. Look at verse 7. And he sent out, verse 6, then it came about at the end of 40 days. Now, that's 40 days after they see the mountaintop. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. Then it came about at the end of 40 days. That's 40 days after they see the mountaintop. Remember, they're going to be in the ark over a year. A little over a year. And Jim and I used to have a friend that was a comedian, entertainer, stand-up type thing way back. Now that I talk to him, he's looking forward to coming. Kenny Davis, who, by the way, we led to the Lord. He would come to class every now and then. He would learn things about, and he did the funniest thing on the ark. And, whew, boy, it got real funky out here after a while. So they're in there. So Noah sends out the raven. So verse 6, Noah opened the window of the ark, and we saw various passages in the Bible opening the door to heaven, which he had made. Then in verse 7 now, he sent out a raven, black, unclean bird, and it flew here and there until the water dried up from the earth. Remember that it didn't come back to the ark. It lived off the corpse, the dead bodies floating, and it's a picture of Satan who lives off the dead, lives off of us when we're out of the power of the Spirit, therefore temporarily dead, lives off of unbelievers that do not enter the plan by faith. So this is the sending out of the raven. Then Noah sends out the dove the first time in verse 8 with a specific reason stated. Then he sent out a dove from him. Now, you didn't have that with the raven. There's something personal. Send him out on a mission from himself, and the mission is to see if the water was abated from the face of the earth. The dove returned, so therefore the water was still covered the earth. Verse 9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and that's important in dealing with the feet of Jesus Christ touching the earth in the Mount of Olives and different things in this respect, but we'll go on. So she returned to him, or Noah, or God the Father, into the ark, into heaven. for the water was on the surface of all the earth. So Satan's, remember, the sea is also identified with Satan. The sea or the deep, always identified with Satan. So she returned to him in the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand, took her to himself, brought her back into the ark. Beautiful picture, something very tender going on there. Noah waits 7 days and sends the dove out again. Verse 10. So he waited yet another 7 days and again sent out on a mission the dove from the ark. The dove returns. This time the dove has an olive leaf in her beak. Verse 11. And the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly, just blossomed, freshly picked olive leaf. Actually, I'll show you in a little bit, it's actually a little branch with several leaves. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. Then we have a lapse of 7 days, which is a picture of the church. The olive leaf is Jesus Christ coming to earth, dying on a cross, paying the judgment of the sins of the world. And what he did was he established peace between God and man, God and creation, because I think angels are included, between God and creation. And the symbol of that is the olive branch, which is the branch of peace. Then Noah sends out the dove a third time. Verse 12. Then he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. Noah sends the dove out a third time. The dove does not return. Does not come back to the ark. Jesus Christ comes to earth. Only this time, after defeating Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, this third time, remember the dove is a picture of Christ, he comes back, defeats Satan at the Battle of Armageddon. He does not return to heaven. After the cross, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he left the earth, didn't he? He went to be with the Father. Then he comes back, but after Armageddon, defeating Satan again, does he return to heaven? What does he do? Sets up his kingdom on earth. That's what he does. So we have the three sendings. In the three sendings of the dove, we have the three sendings of Jesus Christ out of heaven by God the Father. And in all three of the sendings of Christ, the Son accomplishes exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Now let's look at those. We are looking now at the three sendings. The three sendings of Jesus Christ by God the Father out of heaven. People, you say these kind of things to too many people, they're going to get you like you're crazy. I see them. I hope you do. They're there for the eye that wants to see them. Okay. The first sending of Jesus Christ was when? Prehistoric time. When I say prehistoric, that's prehistory of man. Prehistoric. God the Father sent Jesus Christ out. He was in his pre-incarnate. Incarnate means he coming as mankind, member of the human race. This is pre-incarnate. Satan is defeated at this time and cast into the deep. He is sent out of heaven. First of all, just so we get the picture, the raven is sent out, and that's a picture of Satan being kicked out of heaven. Then he forms a rebellion, on earth with the angels that are on earth. Jesus Christ is sent out to encounter, take on Satan in this prehistoric battle. Jesus Christ wins, casts Satan and all the angels that followed him into the deep. So now, with the deep, the earth is covered with water. So since the earth is covered with water, what does Jesus Christ do in his pre-incarnate state? Goes back to heaven, because the earth's covered with water. You don't want to stick around there. You can only water ski so long, you get tired. So it's time to go on back up to heaven. Now, then we have a lapse of time, and this time, the second sending of Jesus Christ, he is sent in his incarnate, or as a member of the human race, in his humanity. He is sent back to earth as a member of the human race. What does he do at this point, this sending? Well, what does he come for, though? The cross. Beautiful. He comes and takes Satan on at the cross. So the whole battle here is wisdom. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had Satan been able to figure it out that Jesus was the one, he wouldn't have crucified him. It's all about wisdom. Satan, you say you are like me, you got to think like me. Okay, so he comes, bears the judgment of the sins of the world, defeats Satan again, is buried, comes up out of the grave, and then he ascends and goes back to the Father. Now, so here he comes in his humanity. So here he's weak in the sense of he has set aside deity. He's the God-man. But he's not going to appeal or use any of the deity. Up here, it was deity taking on the supernatural creature, Satan. Now we come to the third sending by God the Father of Jesus Christ, his Son. He is now sent in full power, the God-man, full power, to take on the seven-headed dragon in full power at the battle of Armageddon. So this sets up a battle of Armageddon. Now, to get you going, what's happening? The first battle in the prehistoric time was about power. We, members of the human race, did not get to see that. We were not even there. Not even in existence. We see the great wisdom battle. That's going right through our history, right up even in the church. So we see that. But what we've never seen is Jesus Christ, our God's power in taking on the power of the supernatural creature. What we're going to get to. You and I will be topside. We'll have a topside view, a stadium view. We won't be here on earth. We'll be raptured. So we'll have a stadium view. And the Battle of Armageddon, where Satan is defeated the third and final time. People, you got to get confused about this. So let me ask you, think with me. Is there a battle at the end of time? The end of this earth, the end of the present earth, and the heavens and the earth right now. The end of the millennium. Nope. No record of a battle. He's through. It's over. There's no more battles. He tries. But it's almost like a four-year-old rebelling against his parents at that time. It's over. It is over at Armageddon. That's the third and final defeat of Satan. It's over. He's not cast into the lake of fire, but it's over. Here's the third and final battle. We have no record of a battle at the end of time. It's just, okay, that's it. It's like a parent with a rebellious little kid. That's it. I'm through. There's no battle. These are your three battles. Prehistoric, cross, Armageddon. Think with me now. What are we trying to look at? We're trying to find out why three names are out of order. We have three battles. Prehistoric battle. We have the cross, and we have Armageddon. I'm going to go further with you. At the first one, how was Satan dealt with? What happened to Satan at the first one? Cast out of heaven, but I mean after the battle. Thrown into the deep. Okay, so just thrown into the deep. And when I'll give you a little clue. Whenever God does something by water, it's always because he can restore it. What's going to happen with Satan at the end of time? At the end of time, where how's he going to be dealt with? Going to be cast into fire. Of the three men that we have studied, Cain, Balaam, and Korah, which one was dealt with in fire? I'm just giving you little hints of why they're out of order. Okay. Now, so this is what we have going on. Now, what will Noah know when the dove returns with the branch from the tree? He knows that the sea has been beaten. It says abated. He knows the sea has been beaten, which covered the earth. So he knows that. When the dove returns with a branch of the tree, the sea is beaten, meaning Satan is no longer power and control and covering the earth. Okay, once again with me, please. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. Descending of the raven. Then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark, which he had made. He sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up on the earth. Now we come to the sending of the dove. At three sendings of the dove. Now remember, what is important is what is going on with each of these sendings. So what I want to give you now, so you can think through with me, in the verses that follow, we're dealing with the sending of the dove, and we're going to have three sendings of the dove. So what I want to show you is, we got to look at one, the sending. By the way, if any of you have, and this is just asking, if any of you ever have a laptop you want to sell, a used one, I want to buy it. I'm sitting, I talked to Dan, and I've been doing some talking, and about having it where I can do all of this stuff at home, and really have, rather than go to Kinko's or making all these things, we can do it. I was at a big seminar Saturday, and every one of the speakers did it, and it was just so clear to be able to follow it from your position, what they were doing. So I'm putting this together, and got two or three leads already on a projector. That's going to be the higher expense, and I don't need much of a laptop at all. Just something that'll hold the basic words, the word in it. Okay, so, but I want to write this out because I want you to follow through. We want to look at the sending, and then point two, you want to get into your mind what the dove does. We have the sending, what the dove does, and then point three, the result. So there is your outline of studying the three sendings of the dove. Now, the sending is the same in all three. But what the dove does in each is different, and that difference is important. And the results are essential to our very lives. So let's look at verse 8. Then, after the raven had been sent out. That's what the then introduces for us in your text. Then, after the raven had been sent out, that's Noah, a picture of God the Father, sent out. So there's the sending. A dove. This is the first going out of the deity of Christ from the throne of heaven. From him, that's Noah, or God the Father, to see, and here's your, what is the dove going to do? To see if the water was abated from the face of the earth. The dove is totally different than the raven, and we've already studied that. The raven's an unclean animal, dove's a clean animal, raven's black, the dove's white, all these kinds of things. Now, before we go any further, I want you to stop and think. Why does Noah have to send out a dove? Now, please work with me. Has not God already told Noah everything up to now? It's going to rain. The rain's going to cover the earth. Build an ark by these dimensions. He's told him everything. How many did it take in? Two of all of the animals, but seven sets of the birds. He's told him everything. Question. What doesn't God just say? Okay, Noah. The water's gone. Why does he even have to know that? Because he's not going to be able to rest the ark, is he? The ark rests on its own. But yet we have this given to us. God told Noah the corruption of the earth. God told Noah the flood was coming to cover the earth. God told Noah to build an ark, gave the blueprints for the ark, did all this. But God does not tell Noah that the waters have abated. God doesn't tell Noah that. God does not tell Noah that it's safe to come out of the ark. So we want to ask ourselves, people, as I told you, starting in around 1990, I still study the Greek and Hebrew for you. And in many cases now in Job, and there's the Aramaic. But my study now is geared to what's going on. What? Why? So we come to this question. What's going on here? The dove is used for the dove can and will do something that man cannot do. This came off of my study. John, roll the stone back. Why does Christ say, roll the stone back? Jesus Christ could have said, roll. But he better identify the stone or the whole mountain would roll. Roll stone. And the stone would have rolled. No, he said, y'all, you people. I'm sure he said y'all. He's a good southerner. Y'all, roll the stone. No, Gigi, he didn't say you guys. Okay, you guys. Hey, you guys. Hey, you guys. Roll a stone. Okay, I have two Italians here. I got a lot of work to do. He said roll a stone back. That's what man can do and reveal the problem. Now, the sending out of the dove, now who's the dove a picture of? The dove, Jesus Christ, is going to do what man cannot do. Man cannot go out. Only the dove is designed to go and fly out over there. Only the dove can fly out of the ark, find the olive branch way over there, and bring it back. Only the dove can do that. Only Christ can establish our peace with God. You can't do it. Not by all your good works, not by all your trying, you cannot provide your salvation or peace with God. This is something that only Christ can do. This is beautiful. Only Jesus Christ came out of heaven to earth and established peace between us and God, mankind and God. Only he can do that, people. This is beautiful. Every aspect. And I want you to appreciate another thing here. We're missing a lot. Don't ask me what, because if I knew it, I'd be telling you. I just know that there is so much more here. But I'm having a ball with what he is showing us. But I just know when we get to heaven that he's just going to say, boy, y'all only scratched the surface of what really all that's going on. Now, so only the dove, Jesus Christ, could do this. And out of love, he did it. Send him out from himself, brought him back to himself. These are pictures that are endearing. We know something else is going on here. So first Noah sent out the dove, commissioned him out of heaven for a specific purpose. Verse 8, we have the PL, and I want to put it on the board for you. PL, and when you have the PL in the Hebrew, it's a stem. There are about 8 or 9 stems in the Hebrew. You got to learn every one of them. I've forgotten them now. I have to sometimes I go, what stem was that in Hebrew? So I have to go to my cheat book. But some of them are the more common. When you have a PL, it's intensive. It's intensive. Meaning, there's a specific mission going on here. And the verb is shalach. And that's S-H-A-L-A-C-H. Shalach. It means to send. To send on a mission. And I emphasize that because isn't this to send or sent? How many times have I just worn you out in John that you will know, and like in our own study in John right now in John 11. Why is he doing this? Why did he pray aloud before he brought Lazarus back? So that they would know that he was sent by God the Father. So this becomes a very important, crucial word in dealing with the person of Jesus Christ in his whole mission. All through John, remember we have two different Greek words for sending. So it's a very important aspect. These things are not just accidental, coincidental. There's something going on, and that's what we want to see. So we have this very intensive shalach, sending out, corresponds with our study in John with the sending out of Christ. Secondly, in verse 8, note, from him. This is not recorded in the sending out of the raven, but only with the dove. And therefore, it draws attention to something special going on between Noah and the dove. Picturing for us the intimacy going on between God the Father and God the Son. From himself, he sent the Son. So this becomes important in that respect. Now, third, as we've noted, the sending out of the dove with a specific mission. And what is the mission now? To see if the water was abated from the face of the land. Two things we want to observe here. Number one, just the physical thing going on. The water abated. Can it go out? Number two, the water being abated from the earth means Satan's influence is diminished from the earth. Okay, verse 9. But the dove found no resting place. And we've already had that word before with the ark resting. Now we find the dove not having any resting place. No resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him. Isn't that beautiful? To him. Not just to the ark. To him. Heaven. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. No, I want you to do something better than that. When I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. It's a person. Heaven, I don't want you to think of heaven just a place. It's a person. It's a person. When you die, when someone you love dies, they're not just going to a place. They're going to a person. See, you people that are married, I'm going to go home tonight. That's a place. But when you go home, you're going home to your husband or your wife. You're going home to a person. Far different. Far different. Far greater impact. When you and I die, I'm not going to heaven, this place up there. I'm going to the Father and the Son. And then of all, of course, relatives and other believers. So this is something very powerfully intimate going on in our study here. Okay, but the dove, finding no place for the sole of his foot, so she returned to the ark, for the water was on the surface of the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her. Does that tell you something? Where does that mean Noah was? Well, but where in the ark? Right there at the window, just waiting. He wasn't down on the third, fourth level. He wasn't over here. He wasn't over there. He was right there at the window. Right there at the window waiting. God the Father is doing in regard to the Son. So we have an expression of affection here. This is the first return of Jesus Christ. How is the earth, after the first time he sees him, covered with, he's sent out by the Father, covered with water. Jesus Christ is sent out to take on Satan and his forces, defeats Satan and his forces, returns to the throne of the God, returns to the Father, and the status of the earth is covered with the water. Satan and all those who followed him are in the deep that covers the water. His mission in the first landing has been completed. The earth is covered in water. Satan has been defeated. Done. Come home. So he goes home. When the earth being covered with water, the job's done. The battle is over. He has been victorious. Now, once again, just to emphasize here, the intimacy, Noah put out his hand, took her, brought her into the ark to himself. So here we have a feminine Jesus Christ in a feminine character. Now I want to stop and talk to you. Most people that you hear this, if they go anywhere with this, the dove is the Holy Spirit. Because the dove is the Holy Spirit in John. So we have to ask ourselves, and it's a fair question, is there anywhere else in the Bible where Jesus Christ is in the feminine form? And I'm not going to show you that now, but just in case your mind is wondering that, yes. In fact, he is called the daughter of Jerusalem. And so we do have Jesus Christ in that form in other places. So here's this God the Father pulling in the Son at this point. Satan and all those who followed him are imprisoned under the deep. Now, let's start with Noah. We have not looked at his name, have we? Have you realized that? I haven't put his name, talked about his name, what his name means. Haven't dealt with that. And usually I do. I like to do that. Well, now it's time to look at his name. Because now it comes into play. It'll mean more to you now than if I'd have told you that at the beginning of the story. So let's take a look at the word, at the name of Noah. It looks like this. This is, I'm going to put it on this, Noah. This is, and that's N-O-C-H, Nurk. That's what it is. In fact, to put in the vowel, N-O-A-C-H, Nurk. Okay, that's his name, Noach. Okay, what did the dove do when she was sent out by Noah? She found no what for her feet? No, she found, I put it down here, she found no resting place. Think with me, I'm having fun with you. So she found no resting place there. She desires to rest. Anybody want to take a guess on what the root of Noah's name means? Resting. His name means resting. That's what Noah comes from. The place of rest. The word for Noah is Noach. The word for rest, we give that to you. The word for rest is Manach. It looks like this. M-A-N-O-A-C-H. Manach. The root of both of these words is Noach. That's the basic root. And they all deal with rest. Isn't that beautiful? So the bird, the dove, found no Manoic resting place on earth. So she returns to the place of rest that she's familiar with, and that is with the with Noah. So brings to rest. Noah in the ark is the place of rest. It is no accident that these words are placed as they are in the story in this verse. Noah is a representation of whom? God the Father. The ark is a picture of heaven. So, people, what we have is, this is the place of rest. God the Father, in God the Father is the place of rest. Where is Jesus Christ in his physical form right now? The place of rest. Stay with me, especially those of you that come on Thursday or Wednesday night. Where are we positionally all the time? Place of rest. If we live in accordance to our status on earth, we are always in what? In a place of rest. We're always in a place of rest. That's so what happens when we start living here on earth, that's when stress, anxiety, and depression come in. We're like the dove. Boy, there's just nowhere to land and just flickering about. No place to go for rest. But if you and I will live our life on earth, right here, right now, in reference to the place where we are, and we see this on Wednesday night, we've looked at verses. This is, we are to live in the heavenlies, right? Those of you that come on a study, we are to live in the heavenlies. That's where we are. It's where our citizenship is. It's where we belong. We're physically here, but we live spiritually and in our lives in the heavenlies. And if you want to look at it, we live in a place of rest, not a place of anxiety and pressure and schedules and being beaten down and trying to perform, trying to measure up, trying to do this and that. No, we live in a place of rest. I think this is beautiful. And it's just no accident of what's going on here. So this is the place of rest in our lives as believers. See, first of all, in our lives as unbelievers, watch this. As unbelievers, we're like the raven, people. As unbelievers, we're like the raven. We're just floating around out there, frustrated. No rest, no peace. But in Christ, we have a place of rest. That's where we live, where He is. So we go to this, to Noah, the place of rest. The dove finds no rest in the world, where Satan rules, the earth covered. Darkness covers the earth, Genesis 1 and here. So the dove returns to the place of rest. The dove returns to Noah. Christ returns to the Father, you and I. This is where we are positionally. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 116. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Just close your Bible and open it up in the middle, and you'll come to the Psalms. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 116, right near the end. Psalm 116, verse 7. In the midst of all of the intriguing study we're doing, I'm still here to teach you for your daily life. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Now, look at the phrase, return to your rest, O my soul. We have the same Hebrew word for return that we have with the dove returning. So we have that word the same. And the word for rest, you guessed it, it's the same word, manuach. Same word. So, let's have fun. Return to your Noah, O my soul. Return to your Father, O my soul. Now, let's go back to Genesis 8. Now, third question is, what happens, what's the result when the dove turns to the ark? Look at verse 8, 9. The dove found nothing, so that's what happened, and he returned. Now, what happens when he returns? Verse 9, then he, Noah, put out his hand and took her, the dove, brought her tenderly into the ark to himself, the place of rest. This is where Jesus Christ seeks to bring us all, to the Father, to the place of rest. What is salvation? Salvation is being restored to the Father. Now verse 10. So he, Noah, waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out, P.L. stem again, the dove from the ark. This is the second sending of the dove. God the Father sends Jesus Christ out of heaven a second time. The second time Jesus Christ is sent out of heaven, it's the incarnate Christ, or God-man, God in the flesh, as man. He goes to the cross. He takes on the seven-headed dragon again. Only this time, he is in his, watch what's happening now, Jesus Christ in the second sending, in our verse 10 here, Jesus Christ in his second sending, here's Jesus Christ, second sending, what are we looking at? He is in his humanity, so therefore, he is in a weakened form, not in his deity. But, watch what's happening now. He's going to take on the seven-headed dragon, but we know that the seven-headed dragon is in limited form because who puts Christ on the cross? Which head? Rome. Rome won. So we have a picture of just one of the strength heads of the seven-headed dragon is going to put Christ on the cross. So he is the flesh, the dragon is in the sixth, as it were, head or area power of his seven. That's his status. Now, let's take a look at the 7 days. Take a look at the 7 days. He's been sent out. That's the first one. Or he'll go the other way. Sent out. He sent out, first one. Then he sent out this time. But we got some lapse of time here. What was the condition of the earth when the dove returned the first time? When the dove returned the first time, what was the condition of the earth? Covered with water. Okay. So now, what is the 7 days going to represent? It's going to represent the time of restoring the earth completely. The Holy Spirit comes, restores the earth. We saw it in Genesis 1, 2 and following, and here in Genesis 8. Another way to see this is that the Holy Spirit comes, restores the arena for the spiritual warfare. After a big event, big Super Bowl, everybody leaves. Well, everybody's gone home, have a great time. Well, the cleanup crew has to come in. And they got to clean up all the trash. They have to get it all ready for the next event. Okay? The Holy Spirit, in this sense, does the cleanup. He comes in and restores the earth for the next encounter between Jesus Christ and the dragon. Okay? So, this is Noah's 7 days. 7 days of restoration. This is his 7 days waiting this whole time for the earth. Now we come to verse 11. Come to verse 11. And the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf, so Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. People, it's a powerful verse. It pictures some of the most important events in human history. So let's get to work on it. The dove is sent out the first time it comes back water on the earth. Then after a lapse of 7 days, the dove is sent out a second time. Only this time it says it's come back with a olive leaf. Noah knows something about what's happened outside. The water has been abated from the earth. Again, who is the dove? It's Jesus Christ. When God the Father sends his Son out of heaven to earth a second time, he came as the incarnate Christ, the God-man, encountered Satan, died on a cross, which looks like a defeat. Which looks like a defeat. Think about it. The Romans instituted crucifixion to make it a vivid picture of the people they had defeated, of how powerful they were, and in their cities that they would conquer all over the Roman Empire. They would line the crosses up and down the main streets or out, going out of the city, so that if you walked by, you would see your leaders. You would see your soldiers in this horribly weak, dying, and it took days for them to die on purpose. And families would come and stand at the cross, at the bottom of the cross, while their sons and brothers and fathers would be up there. Rome did it on purpose. It was a beautiful picture that Rome was victorious. And the seven-headed dragon thought he was victorious when they lifted the cross up in the air. And he saw Jesus hanging on the cross, just like Rome had seen so many hundreds of people before this event, before Jerusalem. People would hang on a cross, and the whole town would come into total submission. Who wouldn't? I sure would. You know, what do you want? Because this is what they do. This is what Rome established. And then they would establish their peace and everything, but boy, they came in, and they, if you fought them, you paid. So think as Rome, seven-headed dragon, there's this man Jesus, nailed on this cross, the cross is lifted up. He was sure, just like all of the other triumphant possessions, he said, this is it, I've won. But after 3 hours, something happened. What happened? Darkness covered it. And I still like to think that throughout all heaven you heard, uh-oh, out of Satan's mouth. Uh-oh, I don't like this. He's done it to me again. God has done it to me again. I stepped right into his hand, right where he wanted me to be. But I want you to feel and understand, the moment he saw him up on that cross, lifted up for 3 hours, Satan and his angels were just jumping for joy. They've won. They've won. And then it grew dark. And he knew that he lost. Took him off the cross. They buried him. Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. All about the suffering. It's not a nice movie, I bet. So it's, we've been told. It's just vivid. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, don't go. Not, you know, oh, well, I have to go because I'm a Christian. No, you don't. I mean, if you can't handle this, I don't even like to see too much blood and guts in regular movies. But it's going to be vivid. And he said it's vivid, Mel Gibson did, because he wants to see, people to see, the cost of love. The passion of love. This is how much he loved. That's why he did this. So this is what we're seeing. And the cross was lifted up, and Satan knew that he had won. He knew that he had won. Until the 3 hours of darkness. Then they buried him, and he came up out of the grave. The resurrection of Christ. So he returned to heaven, to God the Father, and by his work on the cross, he had established peace between God and man. But something else was accomplished in the second standing of Jesus Christ on the cross. Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated on the cross. So what is the water? What have we seen that the water and the deep symbolize? It's a picture of Satan. So when the water, we have the water abated, that means Satan's power is no longer on the face of the earth. Satan's power is no longer on the earth. It has been abated. So that's what our word is. It was abated. Yes. I'm going to define it for you exactly. I'm going to give you the Hebrew word and exactly what it means. But just so you all know, let me see. I'm just showing you how far I've got to go before I even get to the word abated. And all has happened. It is the cal perfect of the verb kalah. And it means, now think about this, we're looking at the water on the earth, but we're seeing the water as Satan's rule on the earth. to be made small, abated, put an end to. People, what do you and I understand? In Christ, in the power of the Spirit, does Satan have any power over you? No, he's been abated. That's what we saw Sunday morning. Loosed the bonds of Lazarus, the wrappings, and then he said, let him go. We're free. Loose the bonds of Satan, the wrappings of Satan, the wrappings of the law, the wrappings of sin that bind us. He loosed us of all of that, and we're set free. Let them go. We're let go of all of that. So while he functions on earth, he has no power over you unless you willingly give it. If you willingly give it to him, then yes, he does. But if you do not, you stay in the power of the Spirit by faith, he has no power over you whatsoever. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, stand still. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the air. Put on the whole armor of God. Just stand still. You don't fight. You just stand in that faith. When Jesus Christ returned to heaven a second time, he had abated the power of Satan over the earth. Now that brings us to verse 11, and I guess this is a good place to stop. And we'll pick it up right here in verse 11. The dove came to him toward evening. Even that's important, toward evening. So we'll pick it up here. Any questions? Where have we been tonight? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, wow, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening our eyes and showing us what is going on. Thank you, Father, for taking us back into time. Thank you for showing us what happened, the prehistoric world, what the real issues are in our life, what we're here for, to just trust you. Thank you for giving us a place of rest. Because quite frankly, Heavenly Father, this world wears you out. This world just wears us out, Father. And you've given to us a place of rest. We praise you. In your Son's precious name. Amen.